Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host of Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Today, we are going to be talking about some things that I think it's very important to get out to the public, because I have a loved one that's going to be sent to a prison, another prison, because he has refused to double cell. I want to mention this because these are people who are incarcerated on first-time offenses that are being forced to do things that they don't want to do. And when someone is not being a problem and all they want to do is maintain their single cell status and be able to participate in educational programs, and they're being not only denied, but they're being ignored when they file their grievances. We have people in this country that have committed suicide. We have a high rate of suicide rates in the United States of America. We have people incarcerated who deserve to be incarcerated because they're habitual offenders or they're serial killers or mass murderers. We don't need our legislative members ignoring the fact that these people that are incarcerated, that are simply asking to be allowed to have their single cell status and be allowed to participate in programs. And we cannot get responses from those that we reach out to try to get their help. I think it's time now where people started to look at these situations that are occurring in the prisons. It's really, really sad when we have to deal with situations like this, family members of the incarcerated and the incarcerated themselves, to go through sleepless nights, to go through thoughts that are almost like damaging, to sometimes feel you want to just end it right there for yourself so you don't have to deal with it, or you want to end it with somebody who caused the stumbling or somebody that's who provokes that, who knows they're getting away with it. Our legislative members have titles. They have power, and I don't think they realize the power that they have. People reach out to them for help. And when they try to write a letter or make a phone call and they get put down or they get ignored themselves, instead of challenging these people, they completely ignore their constituents. When you have somebody that you love, your only child, or somebody that you know is innocent of something, or somebody that you know that was severely depressed at the time of their offense, you know that something happened in their life and they couldn't cope at the time. When in court, it's confirmed that the person was severely depressed prior to even doing anything. Severely depressed, as the psychiatrist said, severe psychotic episode with psychotic behaviors. Depressive episode with psychotic behaviors. And because of connections, either with the family and law enforcement or the family in the courts or the family with prison officials, they can't be satisfied with the fact that a person is getting life and life without parole for a first offense at a time when they're severely depressed. And you want to ask yourself why they're severely depressed if a family can continue to want to make matters as seriously bad as they can by making that person throughout their life be miserable. At the end of the transcript, the trial transcript, the last paragraph, a relative said she hopes that that person never adjusts while incarcerated. And in my own research, I find that she also worked for the Department of Corrections. And I also found out that the cheating was going on with the Jewish person, not only with that Jewish person, but also with another person. People don't realize when you cheat on somebody, you claim to love them, you tell them you love them, and you're cheating on them all the time. You're messing with the heart. And as they say, there's a thin line between love and hate. When somebody works so hard to become somebody and tries to do the best they can to please society, only to be brought down by someone, used and abused, lied to and deceived. And that person comes out smelling like the clean one. But again, the offender knows they have to serve their time. They don't have to be punished day in and day out every single second of their time inside. Let them adjust just like anyone else. A person commits a fatal offense, one shot, at a serious time in their life when they're severely depressed, falling behind in their last year of school, college, by one subject, disclosing something that they never disclosed for years before, only to be laughed at, only to be cheated on, only to be abused, deceived, and then to spend the rest of their life having to go through this. When a prisoner is asking for one simple thing, and I'll tell you, there are many, many cells available in prisons across the country that are not being utilized. If there is no problem with using a cell to allow somebody to have this single cell status, why do they have to send them to a punishment prison rather than just give them that single cell and let them take their educational programs as everyone else? I'm very upset about it. I've made numerous calls to the Attorney General's office. I've made numerous calls to the Governor's office, only to be completely ignored, not receiving any responses to any emails, any letters, any phone calls. And if you try calling the Governor's office today, you're not going to get a human being. You're going to get a recording. You can leave a message, as they say, in a telephone number, and maybe you'll get a response. I don't know. I've been advocating for the incarcerated men, women, and youth since 2004 when I started my organization, but prior to that I was advocating individually. I've been trying to help, and I have helped many prisoners throughout the years, and yet not being able to get any help from my own loved one, to watch him slowly being destroyed day after day, week after week. Destroyed because what? Someone wants to maintain a single cell status and wants to take educational courses and to be denied, deprived, everything. And then to have a prison doctor, who I believe as well is connected to the same family, remove all the cartilages in the knee and shoulder and cut into the collarbone, making someone permanently damaged. I've gone back and forth on this. You know, sometimes when you're going through so much and you're being completely ignored by those influential who could help and completely deny or deprive, completely ignore because they don't feel they have enough power, even though they have their titles, you start to wonder if it's worth living. You start to wonder if I should stay in this world. Do I tolerate what's happening with my own loved one, or do I go out there and try to destroy somebody that's not willing to help? I don't destroy, but I've gotten to hate, and that's something I was not raised to do. I've gotten to be so disgusted with our government, so disgusted with people that my own loved one and other prisoners have asked me to vote for. I'm not one to vote for anybody, but I took time out to vote for these people who are completely turning a blind eye. I thought about turning from being a Democrat to a Republican, because at least we know the Republicans where they stand. At least we know where we stand with these Republicans, with our Democratic Party, who we've supported throughout the years since our 21st birthday. They get in contact with you when they need your vote. But what happens after that? A president that spends all his time in Ukraine and Israel and other countries, when his own country is falling apart. We have major issues in the United States of America. We have major issues. I once worked for the state I worked for the state of Massachusetts. I gave everything. And perhaps if I didn't give so much of myself then, I could have prevented something from happening. Maybe my own loved one would have been able to disclose to me the pain and suffering he had been going through prior to. I'll tell you, it was a politician that was close to this family the corrupt politician who made sure that our misery would go on and on and on until the end of this system of things. And I pray to God every day, morning and evening, to come quickly and to destroy this system of things so that we can go on to something much better. And I know that everyone who has turned a blind eye on people who are suffering when they can help will also have to go before our Maker. People who have been tormented and tortured. People who were meek, lowly ones, lambs amongst the wolves, as they say in the Bible, that our government completely ignores. Anyone that can help makes no effort because they want to be in the media all the time. I've had legislative members start to help. Three of them, as a matter of fact, start to help. And two of them actually made promises that they were going to set up a virtual meeting. And the other one said, a congresswoman, her office said they won't give up on this case because they saw the injustice and they know about the injustice that's going on. And yet they all of a sudden just completely went AWOL on me. You think you can trust your government, your legislative members. You think you can trust them. So you vote for them. One senator, I even donated money, which I didn't have, but I made it a point to donate money to her and promote her and vote for her. I'm saying all this, and I don't usually put my business out there, although I don't try to hide it either. I am transparent. I'm not like others who say one thing and do another thing. When I say I'm going to do something, when I say I'm going to help to the end. I'm still helping prisoners in other states that were clients of ours years ago when I don't do other states anymore. I don't advocate for other states anymore. But I just can't let go of those people who are in need of help. And yet our influential government leaders and lawmakers, they can drop out anytime. They can go AWOL anytime they want. And they talk about their opponents. If I'm going to be ignored by our own Democratic leaders, what's holding me back from moving on to the Republican leaders who are doing just as much as our Democratic leaders who are getting our votes? This may not make sense to you, or maybe it makes altogether too much sense to you. And I'd love to have you call in and express your opinions, your thoughts, your feedback. And for those of you who have loved ones inside that are experiencing injustices behind those prison walls, I ask you to come forward as well. Talk about the efforts that you made and to whom you made those efforts to get the help that you either got or didn't get. I've contacted lawyers from other states because lawyers in Massachusetts apparently got the word from other lawyers not to help. And that's why I mentioned Norman Zellkind a lot, because Norman Zellkind, once hearing the name, agreed to the case, asked for a $10,000 retainer, and after one visit, taking $4,500 from that $10,000, I asked him to send the remainder back. I wasn't going to use him. But I realized after my research that he was part of this group of oppression, taking as much as he could. Another one was Elizabeth Kelly from Washington State, who connected with Norman Zellkind. And she asked me one day, because Norman Zellkind asked her, who my loved one had fatally wounded. And I told her. And I thought about it after that. He said, shot. And how did he know? He was trying to make sure the person he was going to scam of $4,500, or he thought $10,000, he wanted to make sure it was the right person. So after his office sent me back the balance of the $10,000, Elizabeth Kelly asked me to send it to her, assuming that she was going to continue with the case. So I sent it to her in addition to $5,000 I gave her, in addition to paying for her airfare to and from, her hotel expenses, her food, her Uber drivers. She did the same thing, completely ignored. However, this time she ended up ripping me off of $12,000. Total of $16,000 altogether. Completely cleaning me out. So even if there was a lawyer that I could get, I wouldn't be able to afford it. These are the injustices that go on in America. And I'll tell you, a lot of it has to do with racism. A lot of it had to do with racism. We have multiracial marriages in this country. I'm an example of one. But our young ones today, a lot of them, are getting into the same type of relationships. So when something happens, some people would call it a racial matter, and others would call it, what is that when couples break up? When people are passion, crime of passion. And sometimes it's more than that. It's when somebody opens up their whole heart and everything that they've been holding in for years, not disclosing any of it, feeling guilty for things that happened to them as children. And then finally getting into a first-time relationship, feeling that you can finally open up to someone who keeps saying they love you, only to find out that person was the wrong person as well. Lying, deceiving, using. And the thing that bothers me the most is there's a brother-in-law, an in-law in the family who has never had to spend a day in prison for all the violations he did. Nieces, nephews, sons and daughters. He still walks free. I remember years ago notifying a district attorney in the Plymouth area about this person on the Cape. Never responded, no response, because the damage has already been done. You have a loved one in prison, they don't want to listen to what you have to say. Now this individual, this prisoner I'm talking about right now, he was recently transferred to a medium secure prison. And when you leave a maximum secure prison, you lose that single cell status. So the prison he was sent to, he refused to double cell. And instead of sending him back to the prison, the maximum, where he had a single cell, they decided to send him to a prison that's going to be closing down soon. It's supposed to be closing down in a couple of months. But there's an SAU unit which they force people into reconsidering their thoughts. It's pretty much like a severe disciplinary unit or section with the most violent. Now this individual, I'm going to say right now, is not going to make it unless people do something about it. This individual is going into this place as someone who has never been a problem. A first-time offender who has, throughout the years, been targeted by prison officials and families or lawyers connected to the family. This is pure evil. And I'm going to say one thing, no matter what happens to this prisoner, I know and I believe there is a God. And I know that God knows his heart. And he knows of the evil that is behind all of this. And I just want to let everybody know, if anything happens to him, oh, we won't be here. We won't be here. But at the same time, everybody has to go before their maker. And I know that he will not be turned away by our Creator, our Father, our Most High. He won't be turned against or away from them. But those of you out there who may be part of this conspiracy, who may be part of all of this infliction upon incarcerated individuals who don't deserve to be treated the way they're being treated or tormented, you will someday have to pay. You will someday have to pay. For those of you that are interested in helping, email me or message me on Facebook under Leona Brando, and I will send you the contact name and number and address or email to those that you can contact. But in the meantime, I want you to start talking about the injustices that you've heard about, that you've seen, or that you've experienced. Don't wait until the last minute to talk about these things. I should have been talking about this for a long time. But sometimes we don't want to focus on our own issues, our own problems. We don't. I know a few mothers who have lost their sons to suicide. One of them in Pennsylvania, her name is Holly Alston. Another one, I won't mention her name because she has a lawyer working on that case. Another one in California, her husband, and she also has a lawyer working on that case. I have reached out to so many lawyers, and it's unfortunate that lawyers can help, and they sometimes wait until the person is dead, and then they will quickly take on a case because they know they have a sure win. I have reached out to even Ben Crump, and others have reached out to Ben Crump, but again, the person is not dead. I reached out to lawyers, and our other advocates have reached out to lawyers, and one lawyer actually met virtually with my loved one, and he said my loved one had a good case and he was going to help him. But then he went back to his office, and the head person at the law firm talked him out of it. Jewish community that was once so respected by me and my loved one, the Jewish community has taken away every bit of respect I have for them, mainly Jewish lawyers. Primarily Jewish lawyers like Norman Zalkind, who ripped people off the way he did. And it's really ironic. He has a son that had gone missing from a group home on the Cape. They couldn't find him. And I respected Norman Zalkind so much for saying he'd take on the case that I was going to contact some of my former colleagues on the Cape to see if they could help his son while all the time he was trying to rip me off, visiting my son one time. And when he did visit, I understand that he was really cruel in his speaking with my son. These are the unfortunate things that happen. We're living in a country, as Franz Dau and others from the Netherlands, Amsterdam, London, Belgium, they all say, they are from other countries, and they all say there's a lot of racism in the United States. They see a lot of racism, they see a lot of greed, a lot of power, a lot of retaliation, and a lot of vengeance. These are people from other countries that see what we should be all seeing in the United States. But again, people turn a blind eye because they're so insecure. They don't want to lose their peers who they know most of the time are wrong. But the cliques, they're in their cliques. There was one woman, she's in a coalition to abolish life without parole. I respected that woman as well when I first joined the coalition. And then I noticed the attitudes and the little cliquish ways. And so I ended up leaving the coalition. But whenever I emailed her about anything, I didn't get a response. So I invited her to come on the show one time. And I told another advocate I knew that she would not respond because she didn't respond in the past. I even said I made a bet with the prisoner at one of the prisons in Massachusetts, Norfolk. And I said I told him that she wouldn't respond. And when I sent it out to the other advocate, it was strange because I sent it out to the other advocate, but I sent it out the email to her. So she got it. When she got it, her only response was, F you. Not the letter F you, the letters, but she said it outright. This is the attitude of so-called professional advocates. You know, that is something that I would have either responded to right away and said, oh, I'd be honored to be on the show, or I'd love to be on the show. But when you're dealing with advocates who talk out of one side of their mouth and do on the other side, it's something I would have laughed off and moved on. But this is the kind of country we're in. But as a result of that, many others backed away. Many others stopped responding. Many are afraid to respond. And many respond, but they're afraid to respond through the group emails because they don't want to feel with their peers that they're still associating with somebody that is respected, someone that's trying to really do the right things in life. We have a real problem in America. And I just wanted to bring this out to everyone so that maybe people that are listening to this show can try to start becoming more humane, more verbal. I often say you can come on to give feedback. And the call-in number is 657-383-1630. Again, it's 657-383-1630. And I say all the time, you can call in, you can give feedback, you can ask questions, you can criticize. You know, I'm the type of person, I think we learn. We learn from chaos. We learn from disagreements. We learn from critical criticism. This is how we learn, and this is how we resolve issues. But when people can't talk to one another, they have to go behind backs and gossip to their peers who are much like them. That's a sad situation because that's not a leader. That is a follower. And I don't have much use for followers, but we do have followers. We have followers in government. We have followers in the streets, in the homes, in the nursing homes, the hospitals, the churches. We have followers all over. And it's sad to say that, but that's a fact. So for those of you listening, too afraid to call in, I'm going to just say that we will be closing earlier today on the radio show. And I hope that someday, soon, before this system of things ends, because it's about to end, we are not in the last days. We are in the last seconds of the last days. And we can see it all around us. So maybe that's why people are not responsive, because they don't feel their words, their opinions make any difference in these last final seconds. So I keep people in prayer. Those who are in very much need of prayer, I do keep you in prayer, because we're living at a time now where it's so critical. Our loved ones are being affected. And I want to say something else, too. You may not think it'll ever hit home. You may not think that you will ever have to experience something like this. I never thought it either. I never dreamed that tragedy would strike. But like lightning, it will strike anyone, anywhere, at any time. There was a time when I had my own home. I had it built. I had an excellent job working for the state. I was going into my 15th year. And it was at a time when they were talking about anyone that had worked over 10 years that wanted to take an early retirement, they could take it at 17 years. So I only had a few more years to go to get my full retirement. I had a son I was very, very proud of, who had never been in trouble, who put himself through school, put himself through prep school at Bridgeton Academy in North Bridgeton, Maine, who put himself through college. And years later, in his first third year of college, he met someone at a second job he took on. It was at a club. And the person was from the city. I don't know if any of you know this, but when you're born on the Cape in these little towns at the time, 30 years ago, you can be vulnerable because you're not out there like most people, especially if you're not from the city. You can be pretty vulnerable. But anyway, I had all this going. I was so proud. I was planning on traveling when my retirement was up. I was planning on traveling. I always wanted to travel. I had my basement fixed up so I could rent half the house. Everything was just coming so well together. Highly respected. And then it struck. And this is why I tell you, audience, you never know what can happen in your life from one minute to the next. You can work so hard to have all the money in the world and to have a beautiful home and to have so much riches, materialistic things, and you can lose it all in a day or two. So for all of our wealthy people out there that can't get enough money, can't get enough from the poor and the average citizens, Just try to keep yourself in prayer. Because as it says in the Bible, you came into this world with nothing. And that's the way you're going to go out. You can leave it to your children. But if you notice, many children squander their inheritance in no time at all. In the world we live in today, especially this country, we have an epidemic, as I always say, of mental illnesses and addictions. So many people, their money's going, and everything that they have is going into drugs and alcohol. As we can see, even with celebrities and athletes, with all the money they have, still out there getting themselves into trouble. So again, I want to thank everyone for listening in, and I hope and pray that none of you have to go through what many of us have to go through. because of the injustices in this country and the lack of help that comes from our legislative members, our government officials. I will keep everyone in prayer that is in need of prayer, and everyone that's going through some kind of torment and torture. Please know there is a God, and please pray to him and let him know how you feel, because he does allow us to come before him in communication any time of the morning, noon, or night, any day, where we can't even get a call returned from our government leaders. So keep in prayer. Good night to all. Thank you.